Us on the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is an interesting Tuesday, all kinds of things going on in the world, and we will take a look at some of the leading news stories of today, as well as trying to get to the bottom of what it actually means. Again, we come into that complete disconnect, don't we, between what we see in the news each morning and what we actually know to be the case through reputable news sources that are routinely never covered in corporate media. So when we start talking about news, there's news, and then there's news. So a number of things come up today, including something that Ted Pike has been telling us about for quite some period of time, and that is that Jews pressure Bush to sign the hate bill. Ted tells us that last week it seemed the federal anti-hate bill, S-1105, was slated by Democratic leaders to move through the Senate very rapidly, even to a vote by Friday. Now, the opposite may be true. Pro-hate bill supporters may actually want to delay its consideration in the Senate in order to have time to generate massive pressure upon President Bush to approve a modified hate bill or renege altogether on his veto threat. At the forefront of efforts to back Bush down are Jewish activist groups nationwide. Forward.com today says, quote, "Jewish groups are gearing up to fight the president's expected veto of a hate crimes bill opposed by Christian conservatives. Jewish organizations are playing a leading role in the coalition pushing the bill, with almost all of them, except the Orthodox ones, taking action to promote the passage of the measure. Michael Lieberman, Washington counsel for the Anti-Defamation League and chair of the coalition of 290 organizations supporting the hate crimes bill, says, quote, "We believe that after the president sees the support this bill has in the law enforcement community and with other groups, he will listen and sign the bill," unquote. The Forward article continues, quote, "People in the Jewish community have a strong memory and good understanding of the impact hate crimes have," says Hadar Suskind, Washington director of the Jewish Council for Public Affairs. "The Jewish Council for Public Affairs mobilized tens of local Jewish groups to contact our congressman on the issue. In an effort to pressure the president not to use his veto pen to block this legislation, Jewish groups are organizing letters and meetings that aim to stress the importance of the Jewish community sees in passing the bill. Other groups will take similar action. Mainstream Christian and other religious organizations, law enforcement agencies, and women's rights advocacy groups. If this mobilization does not manage to convince the White House, supporters of the bill intend to attach the measure to a quote-unquote must-pass piece of legislation, making it difficult for the president to exercise his veto. Why is the Jewish community not afraid that Jews might be victimized by the federal hate bill? Simple. Since the Jewish Anti-Defamation League sets up hate crimes bureaucracies and controls them once they are established, Jews are virtually never indicted. Although Jewish Talmudic literature defames Christ and Christianity, and many Jewish leaders fulfill every criteria of hate speech, blaming Christianity for anti-Semitism and the Holocaust, Jews in countries with hate laws have little to fear from expressing public hatred or contempt of Christianity. On the contrary, since 1971, when the Anti-Defamation League created Canada's Hate Crimes Gestapo, outspoken members of the political right, and more recently Christians, live in dread of Jewish professional complainers, intent on catching them in a word and hauling them into the hate crimes tribunal courts. Clearly, pro-hate bill strategy is shifting dramatically. When I called the offices of Senator Gordon Smith and Senator Edward Kennedy this morning, says Ted Pike, gone was any hint of rapid movement toward passage. Instead, they say it may be next week before the Senate considers the bill. In fact, the Jewish Forward article says the Senate judiciary may still hold hearings on S-1105. We'll come back to Ted Pike, the National Prayer Network, this morning, and Ted's piece entitled "Jews Pressure Bush to Sign Hate Bill." This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hello, everybody. This is Jimmy Vaughn, and I want to invite all who love liberty to come out Saturday, May 19th, from 6:30 to 10 p.m. and support the only man for president, Ron Paul. This will be his first fundraiser in Austin, so be there or be square. I'll be there playing my guitar along with some other special guests, and we want everybody to come out and have a good time.
The Ron Paul for President Rally and Fundraiser will be at the Texas History Museum in Austin, Texas, at Congress and MLK on Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 till 10 p.m. For ticket or donation info, call 512-250-8649. Again, that's 512-250-8649.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
This is Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. All kinds of things to take a look at today in the way of the news. I've been doing something in recent days that has been of absolute interest to me, trying to read some of the most significant stories that I think have been in the American Free Press in recent weeks and to reread them. I've also been doing some research in some of Mike Piper's books and some of Mark Glenn's writings, to try and compare the data that is there with what is routinely not discussed in corporate media. A little bit later on this morning, I'm going to be sharing with you both some perspectives that I have garnered in recent days related to some of the mainstream presidential candidates. We'll take a look at maybe several of the Republican ones today to analyze basically why corporate media says the things that it does about some of these people and routinely eliminates the mention of certain other things. In reading Mike Piper's book, The New Jerusalem, there's some excellent data in it on John McCain, some of which I was aware of from several confidential sources in Washington, D.C. from some years ago. But Michael Collins Piper puts all of this in print for you and me in The New Jerusalem, Zionist Power in America. And reading some of the material on McCain that is contained in one chapter of this book underscores once again the absolute deficiencies in corporate Zionist news media. why are they not telling us some of the things about Mr. McCain and about his past and about his political connections and the sources of funding that have been behind his own attempts at a political empire? I think when you look at Michael Collins Piper's book and then examine what is not discussed where John McCain is concerned, it becomes abundantly obvious that there's an information disconnect going on. Same thing is true with Rudy Giuliani. Very fascinating, once again, to get into the piece that Paul Craig Roberts has penned several days ago on Giuliani, which appeared at lewrockwell.com as well as in several other locations, and to see how that spin is quite different from, again, what we're getting in most of corporate America's press in regard to Mr. Giuliani, not simply in regard to his obvious left-wing issues and all the where it pertains to social issues and what Mr. Giuliani believes about homosexual rights and abortion and gun control, just to name three, are at complete odds with the grassroots position held by most Republicans for a very, very long period of time. But that's all old news. What I think Paul Craig Roberts goes a long way towards showing in his article on Mr. Giuliani is that we're talking about a guy that has an absolute bloodlust for power and that was utilizing his office as a federal prosecutor to drum up cases against people who should not have gone to jail, according to Paul Craig Roberts. That, to me, is an even more fascinating take on Mr. Giuliani, that, in fact, according to Paul Craig Roberts, whom I assume would be in a position to know, that Rudy Giuliani is a very dangerous man with power in his hands, according to Dr. Roberts, and that's something that needs to be examined more closely when it comes to this gentleman's personality. But then it doesn't really get at the bottom of the larger issue with Mr. Rudy Giuliani, which is the same issue with Mr. McCain and with a number of the other candidates, and that is the amount of Jewish financing that has gone into these presidential efforts and some of the big connections that Mr. McCain and Mr. Giuliani have, just to name two, with the so-called New York Jewish money men. General Wes Clark is now running away from that remark that he made some weeks ago, a remark that has caused him a great deal of difficulty with the Anti-Defamation League and with Jewish Democrats as well as Jewish Republicans. But the general had a brief moment of truth when he made some very insightful comments as to the kind of money that Mr. McCain and Mr. Giuliani were seeking and how that money might be directly related to some of the things they have been saying on matters Middle Eastern. Nonetheless, as we look at this whole scenario within the presidential sweepstakes contest, it becomes appropriately apropos to say that this is a very, very grim time for America. And what's even more obvious is that as we watch the presidential sweepstakes, there's only one man running. And that person I believe to be Ron Paul, our beloved congressman right here in Texas. Not because he's from Texas, although that's fine that he is, but Ron Paul is the one person running in this race who actually understands the Constitution of the United States. If it's constitutional, we can do it. If it's not constitutional, we can't do it. That's always been his philosophy. And when we speak about being bound by the chains of the Constitution, it seems to me that Ron Paul understands that terminology better than anyone running. And I noticed listening to some of my own commercials here this morning that there's going to be a fundraiser for Ron Paul in Austin. I say this without any personal stake in it whatsoever, other than the future of my own country. I hope that those of you who are in a position to do so not only support the Republic Broadcasting Network to the extent that you can and support the American Free Press to the extent that you can, but if you can possibly spare your nickels and dimes and dollars and $10 bills, become involved in supporting Ron Paul's presidential candidacy. It is literally the only game in town. Now, tomorrow I'm going to have a very interesting guy on this show, Brian Malatesta, who is the chairman of the Constitution Party of Texas. Daniel New and I have talked about this young man. We chatted about it briefly last week, and I have not yet had an opportunity to talk to Brian. So my first encounter with him personally will actually be on this show tomorrow, when for a couple of hours we're going to discuss the Constitution Party. Going to talk about its fortunes here in Texas. We're going to talk about its fortunes nationally. We're going to talk about a series of things related to that organization and whether or not it will prove to be a viable political vehicle for paleo conservatives and America First types and libertarians who are looking for an alternative to the two major parties. And as I talked to Brian Malatesta about what he's been up to here in Texas with the Constitution Party, I'm going to be asking a series of questions of him in regard to how he sees the national picture for the CP and how the candidacy of Ron Paul may affect the Constitution Party this year. You know, that's a very, very interesting take for me, is to see what's going to happen with that. Because for those of you who are not that familiar with election laws, it tends to be the case that if you have voted in a major party primary in a particular state, that your options are fairly limited in the fall in terms of signing ballot petitions for third-party candidates and doing various things for third-party and independent candidates that might otherwise be available to you. Here in Texas, as I remember from years ago when I was involved with the Constitution Party before I left the state for a few years, it was the case, for example, that if you were out looking for signatures to get the Constitution Party on the ballot in the general election in the fall, you had to procure the signatures of registered voters who had not voted, in either the Republican or Democratic primaries in this state in that election year. And that was a tall order to find the 25 or 50 or 100,000 signatures that the Secretary of State's office in Austin said were necessary in order to empower a CP candidate to get on the ballot. It was a very, very laborious process. It took a lot of volunteers, and it used to take a tremendous amount of money coming from the national headquarters to get guys on the ballot and young ladies on the ballot here in Texas who were connected with the Constitution Party. I remember, for example, in 1996, when Howard Phillips was the standard bearer of the Constitution Party, what was then known as the U.S. Taxpayers Party, that ballot access was achieved in the state of Texas. But it took a terrific amount of money from the Constitution Party nationally in order to make that happen. They had to go out and hire a series of people to get the signatures that would stand up in Austin in the Secretary of State's office. I no longer remember what that figure was, but I'm going to say, and if I'm wrong, Brian Malatesta or someone else is certainly free to correct me on this, but I believe in 1996 the Constitution Party spent $300,000 to get on the ballot here in Texas. They had to do that in order to get the volunteers in every congressional district and in all of the different precincts to get the signatures that would stand up for the fall election. Suffice it to say that it took a tremendous amount of money, and that was money that the Constitution Party did not have to use in the campaign that fall, either in the state of Texas or elsewhere. This poses an absolutely insurmountable obstacle, at least historically, for third parties, ballot access. How do you achieve it? How do you deal with the individual state laws that are at wide variance with one another in regard to getting people on the ballot to run in a general election? And how do you spend the amount of money that it generally takes to get people on the ballot in 40 or 45 or 48 states without running out of money to do your campaign? That's one of the things I want to talk to Brian about tomorrow, because it seems to me that right now the clear game in town for any paleo conservative, the key game in town for any anti-Zionist person who wants to vote in the presidential election, the key game in town, the only game in town right now for any libertarian voter, is Ron Paul, and he's running within the Republican primaries. Now, of course, I firmly believe that he's the person that we should be behind in this election. We need to be behind him, in my view, with our money, with our activism and our votes, and we need to ride this horse of Ron Paul as long and as far as we can in helping him help the rest of us. But let's assume, just for the sake of argument, that Ron Paul does not get the Republican presidential nomination. And frankly, I don't think he's going to. I would like to wake up some morning and to discover that the millennium has arrived and that Ron Paul is the Republican nominee. But assuming that that's not the case, what then do conservatives, real conservatives, do in the fall? We'll discuss that tomorrow with Brian Malatesta of the Constitution Party of Texas. It's just an idea to think about. We'll be back with another look at Ted Pike's hate bill legislation, S-1105, when Mark Ancos America returns live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
Hello, everybody. This is Jimmy Vaughn, and I want to invite all who love liberty to come out Saturday, May 19th, from 6:30 to 10 p.m. and support the only man for president, Ron Paul. This will be his first fundraiser in Austin, so be there or be square. I'll be there playing my guitar along with some other special guests, and we want everybody to come out and have a good time.
The Ron Paul for President Rally and Fundraiser will be at the Texas History Museum in Austin, Texas, at Congress and MLK on Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 till 10 p.m. For ticket or donation info, call 512-250-8649. Again, that's 512-250-8649.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
To you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've got a number of news items to take a look at this morning. You can give me a call this AM at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. You know, I've been trying to hit this one in recent days, but I think I'll do it again right now and several times in the next couple of hours. I really hope that all of you out there listening to me will consider your financial priorities very, very clearly. Now, obviously, I think your financial priorities, first and foremost, involve God. Secondly, involve your families. So certainly in terms of supporting the whatever ministry you believe in, if you do believe in God, and if you do believe in some extension of the proclamation of God's word in the world, by all means support that. I think that's the top priority, or should be the top priority in your life. Secondarily, there are certain things that you need and your families need in order to thrive, and that should be priority number two. Priority number three, it seems to me, for those of you who are in a position to do it, is to support those things that you believe in that are fighting for your causes politically, culturally, and theologically in the world. And when we think about that, it seems to me that there are at least three things that come to my mind in regard to financial priorities. I hope the Republic Broadcasting Network is one of those. I say that sincerely. Obviously, I work for the Republic Broadcasting Network as part of what I do for Mark Dankoff's America. But I believe in what I'm doing with this network. You know, I have had several opportunities in the past to be involved with what we would think of as corporate media. Have never been involved in that for all of the real obvious reasons. If you've got integrity, and we have plenty of people who have that with the Republic Broadcasting Network, it becomes impossible to become a court jester for those forces that we routinely warn people about on this show. So that's why I'm with RBN. I think that's why Mike Piper is here. I certainly think that that's why the other hosts, like Frank Whalen, are involved with the Republic Broadcasting Network, because we all have found here a vehicle for the expression of our ideas that we have not been able to find elsewhere, those of us who are involved with electronic media. But we need your support at the Republic Broadcasting Network, and I know that John Stattmiller needs it very, very much. He's responsible for having put this network together. He's the guy who is the glue that holds it together. He's the one who has recruited the hosts. He's the guy who works with the technicians. He's the person who, on a day-to-day basis, is keeping the flagship of state afloat. And to the extent that we can support what John is doing, we're supporting the techs, we're supporting the hosts, we're supporting the message that is coming to each and every one of us every day in our lives. And certainly when we think about supporting RBN, there are several ways you can do it. You can contact us on the web at www.republicbroadcasting.org and send your gift through that means. You can give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. You can also send in something to the Republic Broadcasting Network through the snail mail office, which is 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That's 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. So whether we're talking about the web, www.republicbroadcasting.org, the telephone, 1-800-724-2719, or the mail, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. We need your assistance. We need it on an ongoing basis. Again, keeping in mind priorities, God first, family and personal needs second, and then thirdly, to the extent that you can do it, the support of those causes, the support of those things that best gets the message out there that something is wrong in this country and that we need to fight to take our country back. I think the Republic Broadcasting is a part of that last division that we've spoken of this morning. I certainly hope and pray that you will support it to the extent that you can. That brings me, of course, to another couple of items that come to mind. I think the American Free Press has become an absolutely invaluable thing to me in terms of information. I've got plenty of friends who write for it. Mark Glenn, Michael Collins Piper, Mark Anderson, and Willis Carto, just to name three. Christopher Petherick, I've had several conversations with, the editor of AFP. He's a very nice man, and I think is doing the same kinds of things in print media that John Stattmiller is doing with electronic media and the Republic Broadcasting Network. And to the extent that we can be involved as America First types in subscribing to the American Free Press, then by George, we ought to be doing that. And you can call them at 1-888-699-NEWS. That's 1-888-699-NEWS. I guarantee you, you won't be sorry. I have discovered that I can keep abreast of things through reading AFP that I simply have not been able to through any other newspaper in the country, and I say that sincerely. The third item, which we'll talk about when we come back, is supporting Ron Paul. This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hello, everybody. This is Jimmy Vaughn, and I want to invite all who love liberty to come out Saturday, May 19th, from 6:30 to 10 p.m. and support the only man for president, Ron Paul. This will be his first fundraiser in Austin, so be there or be square. I'll be there playing my guitar along with some other special guests, and we want everybody to come out and have a good time.
The Ron Paul for President Rally and Fundraiser will be at the Texas History Museum in Austin, Texas, at Congress and MLK on Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 till 10 p.m. For ticket or donation info, call 512-250-8649. Again, that's 512-250-8649.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. To order, write Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can give me a call today at 1-800-313-9443. If you want to chat about something political, cultural, or historical today, maybe theological, we're simply going to be covering some news items in the next couple of hours, kind of reviewing some of the materials that some of our guests have been covering with me in recent days. And then tomorrow, as I have mentioned, Brian Malatesta is going to be on this show. He is the chairman of the Constitution Party in Texas. It will be very, very fascinating to have Brian share with us what is going on with the CP and how they're trying to get ready for this upcoming presidential election and what they plan on doing in regard to their basic issues and in regard to ballot access and the whole question of developing a media strategy and so forth and so on. That will be Brian Malatesta tomorrow with the Constitution Party of Texas. The next day, Tomislav Sunic will be on this show from Zagreb, Croatia. He is a cultural and historical expert on all kinds of things and is going to be speaking with us from abroad in the last hour of the show about a series of things that we need to be thinking about in the next couple of years that we're facing right now. It's going to be Tomislav Sunic coming to us from Zagreb, Croatia on Thursday the 17th. And then a guy by the name of Brad Jones is going to be with us on Friday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. I'll be saying more about this tomorrow, but Brad Jones will be on the show on Friday to talk about something that is going on up in upstate New York. Have you heard of the Cohocton Wind controversy? You probably haven't. If you've not heard anything about it, you need to look first and foremost at Breaking All the Rules News. The very, very fine editor of Breaking All the Rules News is in upstate New York, and he is in the forefront of this Cohocton Wind controversy up there that involves the attempt of corporate powers that be to control the development of wind power. This is a story that has national implications. It has largely been unnoticed by people around the United States for all of the obvious reasons. Corporate media doesn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. But Brad Jones is the individual who has filed an antitrust filing or protest with the American Justice Department in regard to what is going on up there in upstate New York with this Cohocton Wind controversy. He has sent me all the documents that pertain to this. I have not yet read them. I will read them, of course, between now and Friday so that I am prepared for Friday's show. But if you have been looking at alternatives to dealing with corporate powers that be when it comes to economic survival, you've probably been looking at solar power and at wind power as two alternatives among many others. You've probably been looking at non-establishment banking alternatives, freeze-dried foods, dealing with water supplies that can be protected and sustained and saved. There are all kinds of things that people are thinking about today that would not have occurred to many of us even 10 years ago with what's going on. But this whole business of wind power, what is going on in upstate New York with this, and why are there certain corporate powers that be that are involved in a situation up there in upstate New York that may, in fact, enable large multinationals to gain rights over things that basically are not theirs, it seems to me, to own exclusively or to obstruct the rest of us from having access to in regard to utilizing these natural resources to protect ourselves and our families. That's about all I'll say about this today, but this guy Brad Jones is going to be on Friday. Between now and then, I am going to be immersing myself in some of the documents that he has sent me in order to try and understand this at least well enough to ask intelligent questions of our guest on Friday, who's going to tell you and me why this Cohocton Wind controversy in upstate New York has implications for every single person listening to this broadcast, every single person in the country. Folks, we are living at a time when multinational corporate power is at an all-time high, and it's developing even further, even as I speak. You can't help but notice this reading the London Financial Times or reading Investor's Business Daily or the Wall Street Journal and then comparing what they're talking about with what we would say at the Republic Broadcasting Network or what the American Free Press would tell us. This is an absolutely frightening time, and yet it's a time as well for great opportunity. As individual Americans and individual people in our local communities with their families try to figure out alternative ways of surviving. When it seems that the banking system is a stacked deck, the political system is a stacked deck, the media is a stacked deck, the educational system is a stacked deck, the hate crimes situation, which we'll get back into shortly, is a stacked deck, and so forth and so on. Given that all of that is the case, how do we best protect ourselves? And one of the things that comes to mind is this show on Friday with Brad Jones, the Cohocton Wind controversy up in upstate New York. What is it? What are the implications behind it? That's what we're going to cover Friday morning on this show. I have also alerted the folks at the American Free Press, specifically Christopher Petherick, Mark Glenn, and Mark Anderson, to take a look at this story at some point because it has national implications, and I'm hopeful that AFP will begin publishing something about what's transpiring up there. And to the extent that this interview with Brad Jones helps them, I'm more than happy to extend to the writers of the American Free Press an opportunity to talk to Brad directly, who will be on the show on Friday. We have a caller, Steve in Tennessee. You're on the air with Mark Dankos America. Go ahead, Steve.
Top of the morning, brother.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
A whole lot better than I deserve.
Hey, me too.
Yeah, aren't we all? The Lord is good. The other day I called in about the family tree of the Howland family. Remember
yes.
that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, well, it was interesting. There's a little more to this family. We've got a statement in Saturday Evening Post, January 17th, 1959.
Okay.
Referring to the 27th Superior General of the Society of Jesus in command of, and it goes, the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, the Scottish Rite Shriner Freemasonry, the Order of the Illuminati, the Knights of Columbus, the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, B'nai B'rith, the Nation of Islam and the Fruit of Islam, the Mafia, Opus Dei, and others. What was written in the Saturday Evening Post in 1959. Now, it's interesting to go to some of the people who are of the Knights of Malta, and one of them was Prescott Bush Jr.
Interesting.
It is interesting. Now, there's another interesting fellow who was in this Knights of Malta. His name was Heinrich Himmler. Remember him?
Oh. That's a household name, certainly. Yes.
Okay. If we take a look at what the logo of the SS was, do you remember what it was?
I can see it in my mind, yes.
A skull and bones. There's another group that has a logo, skull and bones. And two bushes we know belong to it.
Is it the take, Steve, of the Saturday Evening Post article from 1959 that all of these different organizations that are cited in that article have a Freemasonic orientation? Is that a correct spin on this?
In a way, yes, because they're all Jesuit-backed and all Jesuit-controlled. Because, see, we go on down to another fellow who was in the Knights of Malta. His name was J. Edgar Hoover. Another person, yeah, there's more that are interesting. Joseph Kennedy, Ted Kennedy. How about William Casey? Who's that?
Yes, our old CIA chief under Reagan.
Yes. And Reagan was a 33-degree Mason also, just to throw a little something in there. But anyway, here's another one. How about, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you real quickly. It has been indicated to me, and I've not researched this, frankly, but I have had it indicated to me that Pat Buchanan is a member of this Knights of Malta organization. Is that true?
That is correct.
Interesting.
You know who else? Henry Kissinger. You know, when we have all these bedfellows that are running our government, we have a single agenda. Now, who are the Knights of Malta? They're Catholic, right? I mean, the hierarchy of the Catholic, they're not the individual soul that's been duped. See, Cardinal Spellman was also a Knights of Malta, and he's the one that put the hit on Kennedy, if you look deep in there. But we got it also. Here's a little, okay, you know, it's set up here. Scottish Rite, Shriner, Freemasonry.
Yes.
Shriners are an Arabic noble of the mystic shrine. They're what you call Muslims. They worship the Quran. I have a picture of John Paul II kissing the Quran.
I've seen that picture somewhere, and I don't remember where. And but it's interesting. I think it's in Michael Collins Piper's book, The Judas Goats, that there is some discussion of the connection, I believe, of Paul VI to the wearing of a Masonic ephod.
That is correct. Yeah, see, now, that's in, when you look in the Masonry encyclopedia by Mackey, he says that that's who the head of the Masons, he wears the ephod.
Uh-huh.
See, the Pope claims to be the leader of the world. He wears a little beanie. You ever seen that little beanie he wears?
Yes.
Yeah, and he wears the ephod. So what does that tell you? He is the high priest. Okay, when we, I'm talking about just you and me, you know, we know what Luther taught about who the Antichrist was. Okay, and I got a quote from an interesting fellow. His name was Pope Leo XIII. It says, the Church of Rome is one monarchy over all the kingdoms of the earth and is among temporal bodies as the mind or the soul of the body of a man or as God in the world. Therefore, the Church of Rome must not only have spiritual power, but also supreme temporal power. Encyclical of Pope Leo XIII, 1879. And I have another neat quote from one of our illustrious brothers. His name was Bush, and it was, I think it was in 02. I can't remember, March 22nd or something like that. He says, this was at the dedication of the Cultural Center. He says, the best way to honor John Paul II, truly one of the great men, is to take his teaching seriously, is to listen to his words and put his words and teachings into action here in America. This is a challenge we must accept. This was by George Bush. You remember when the towers came down and George got in the plane and went around to the leaders of the different nations over there? And where was the last place he stopped before he came back?
You know, I don't remember.
He stopped to see Papa.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and when he got back, see, I'm listening to this because I know what Luther and Calvin and Knox and Cramer and the Wesley brothers, the Anabaptists, all of our forefathers taught. And when I'm listening to this stuff, he comes back and he gets on the stage up there and he goes, we're going on a crusade. Because Papa told him to go kill Ishmaelites.
Well, Steve, in your view, and it's interesting because I receive a lot of input from listeners on this show who send me things, good things, by the way, that I am still making my way through. I've got some DVDs, got some articles, got some books that to some extent, at least peripherally and in some cases directly, deal with some of the issues you raise that are also in this Saturday Evening Post article of 1959 that you make reference to. And when I put some of these organizations down side by side, we certainly have there's the Anti-Defamation League. There you have, Freemasonry generally. And then, of course, there are all kinds of different orders, as I understand it, including the Scottish Rite organization that you mentioned. Then we deal, of course, with the Vatican and the various orders of the Roman Catholic Church. And as we start putting these different factions side by side, it seems to me that there are certain themes and certain threads that run through these organizations historically in regard to things that we may perceive as being antichrist, and yet there is some difference of opinion among some of the people who talk about these things as to which organizations preceded others in regard to being the most seminal ones in regard to beginning these influences in world history. And there's some question of overlapping associations and relationships with people who apparently have feet in a number of these different camps. Do you personally see the Roman Catholic Church, and this is not on my part anything other than just a question of clarification, because I'm still trying to work through some of these issues of my own. Do you see the Roman Catholic Church as the preeminent issue here, from which some of these other organizations and influences stem, or are they are we to see them as having been largely infiltrated by earlier forces? How does that play for you?
Well, if you go back to the Jesuit oath, they say that they're going to infiltrate everything, and they even say to become so low as to be a Jew among the Jews. They're going to infiltrate every. The Jesuit order are very, very intelligent.
Steve, stay on the line. I got to take a commercial break, but we'll continue our chat when we come back. This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
we're back. This is Mark Antos and Rebecca coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been talking about a number of different news items this morning and also engaging in a conversation with Steve in Tennessee in regard to matters that pertain to things Jesuit, to things Jewish, to things Masonic. When we start examining all of these different strands in history, a number of things come to the fore. Steve, you were making a point before we went away to the commercial break. I wanted to give you a chance to re-engage with that. We've got a series, by the way, of fairly frequent commercial breaks in the next 10 minutes or so, and then there will be a longer period of time for conversation again. So I hope you hang in there with me, because you're talking about some things that I'm just beginning to get into. I have a source up in North Dakota who has mailed some things to me pertaining to some of the very topics that you're chatting about, Steve, and I'll try and introduce some of this material at some point in the conversation, because I think in this particular case, it shares your perspective. But go ahead.
So one of the things we need to know is what the people say. You know, you go to the horse's mouth. If you want to know what somebody believes, you read what they write or what they say. So I like to go to the Roman Catholic hierarchy and get what they say, especially papal encyclicas. Now, here's one that's interesting. It says, there is no crime that the doting warrior, General Miles, charges against us to which we must plead guilty. He says that we are trying to make the United States a Catholic country. We must certainly are doing all our power to accomplish it. Catholic Register, Kansas City, in 1914. Okay, now I've got a book here. It's called Rome Stoops to Conquer. And it's by a Jesuit by the name of Dr. E. Boyd, printed around 1935. On page 3, he starts here with, her strength has grown apace under the remarkable able leadership of Pope Pius XI. He has given the best of his singular ability to the supervision and direction of Catholic campaign in America. For him, our country is a battlefield on which is being waged the greatest struggle of the Church's history. Against America is the supreme object, the conquest of America is the supreme objective which he aims. He despairs that the old world, with its interminable breakouts against the church and multiplicity of divisions between people that entail intestine strife among his children. Besides, the old world is in receivership. Pius is well aware that the Catholic Church can never hope again to dominate the civilized world until America kneels beaten and penitent at her feet.
Hang on, Steve. We'll be back. Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on our broadcasting. Stay tuned.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing.